And it's archived, and if you ever want to go watch it, it is available off of our website, the Commission's website. And if you have any handouts when you speak, and we encourage written materials being turned in, please give them to Mr. Sean Cubbage at the end of the desk there. Moving on to item 17, receipt of commission informational items. Under staff reports at this point, there are no staff reports from the commission. Under other, I just want to alert the commissioners that I received a memo from Secretary Mike Christman a few days back asking me to participate on the Ocean Protection Council Steering Committee as a representative for the Fish and Game Commission. So I just want to let the commissioners know, and if the commissioners have any concerns or information they want me to carry forward, the first steering committee meeting is next Wednesday, the 30th. And a copy of that memo is in your correspondence package. So if you have any questions, take a look at that memo and then let me know. On item 17, we have one speaker card, Paul Weakland.
Paul, I'm going to set some rules for you. You speak on the subject of the commission item that we're on and stay on that subject.
Commissioners, Paul Weakland. I'd like to congratulate Mr. Carlson. I think he'd be an outstanding representative, and I hope that this does not burden him in his many duties. Thank you.
Thank you, Paul. Moving on to item 18. Item 18, subcommittee reports and recommendations. And I've been putting this on the agenda as a, whether we've had a meeting or not, just in case there's any discussion on these items. On the Marine Resources Committee, we have not had a meeting this month due to all of the other, we had six public meetings for the full commission this month, and we really didn't have time in our schedule. Mr. Rogers, did you?
No, we are backed up, but what we do need to do, we were backed up with the MLPA issues, but what we do need to do is have a meeting scheduled here in the relatively near future, because we do have other non-MLPA related issues we have to address and resolve. So we need to get that word out to everybody so they can set up their own schedules.
So commission staff, we'll work with the two chairs on selecting a date and
right,
location,
exactly.
And then we will put that on our website.
My suggestion would be that the Marine Resources Committee would be down here, either here in this community or down where Commissioner Hatoy, who's the other commissioner sitting on that committee, resides, and we could even have it somewhere in Southern California where it was related to what we were discussing. We might do that.
And then I have, let me go through the rest of this and we'll get to speakers for item 18. On the Altauscher Preserving Hunting and Sport Fishing Opportunities Advisory Committee, we have not had a meeting recently either, but that is scheduled for September. And I'm trying to figure out the date.
14 Sacramento.
So that, I'm not sure if that's correct. My schedule doesn't show that. Yes, actually, September 14th, okay. So that will be on our website also with more information if you're interested. Moving on to number three, legislative subcommittee. There have been no meetings recently, and the two chairs are not present at this point for this today. Any comments?
Any comments?
So we have one public speaker on this item, and that is Paul Weakland.
No, thank you.
Thank you, Paul. Moving to item 19. receipt of public testimony on proposed changes to section 53.03, 149, and 149.1, Title 14, CCR, regarding non-transferable squid light boat permits, squid permit fees, and revision of light boat log book form. Please note that the proposal and public testimony limited to establishment of non-transferable market light boat squid permit category, adjustment of permit fees for all squid permit classes, and revision of the light boat log book form. The adoption hearing is scheduled for October 6th in San Diego. Mr. Gary Stacy from the department has information on this.
Thank you, Mr. Carlson. Commissioners, this is a very narrowly focused agenda item. The department's been approaching it to respond to requests that we've received from the commission to deal with three main issues. A new class of permit, a non-transferable squid light boat permit, adjustment of squid permit fees. As you recall, when this item first came before you and when the commission decided to open it up relative to this light boat, new light boat category, the department was interested in having the commission revisit the permit fee schedule, primarily to allow the department to be in a better position to recoup the significant amount of effort that we're placing on this program. And then the third item is making a revision in the light boat logbook form that essentially is a procedural matter to bring the logbook in line with existing laws and regulations. I've asked Marcy Yaremko from our Marine Region staff to provide you some additional background.
Good morning, Commissioners. Marcy Yaremko with the Department's Marine Region. Just a few quick slides here on the content of this proposal. First of all, it's up for adoption at your October meeting, the next meeting, so this is your opportunity to provide or to get the details and ask any questions in order to get ready for the adoption hearing. As Gary explained, the package contains three items, and they're very narrow in their focus. The first one is, at your direction, you requested that we provide for a seventh class of squid permits, and this class would be for a non-transferable light boat permit to accommodate those few individuals that meet the grandfather criteria of being 20-year California commercial fishermen. They also had to have held a squid permit during the 2005-2006 permit year, and they also had to have submitted one logbook record to the department between the dates of January 1st, 2001 and August 27th, 2004. And that's consistent with the time period that we have for the other classes of non-transferable squid permits. The department anticipates this will add two additional permittees to the 170 that we already have. There could be as many as six, but we really expect that it's only going to be two. As Gary explained, the package also would provide an increase for the permit fees based on a range that you agreed to notice back in June, to increase the fees to a range somewhere between $5,000 and $8,000 per permit, and I'll get into a little more detail on that in just a second. And the third item is really, as Gary mentioned, just a procedural issue that would allow us to incorporate the new logbook forms that are out in use. So it's just a requirement that we actually get the form into Title 14. Regarding the fees, the present fee levels are provided for here in the slide. For 2006-2007, the transferable vessel permit fees are just over $2,100. The non-transferable permit fees right now are just over $1,000, and the light boat permits are $630. And these numbers are just inflated now each year above the value that you set back in 2004, and that's an inflationary increase that occurs now each year. Just to give you an idea of what the revenue is that comes into the department from SQUID, this is just what's taken place over the past 3 years. The landing tax that comes to the department from the sale of SQUID is $3.80 per ton that's paid to the department. So you can see anyway, if you look at the information here, the amount of revenue that's come to the department from the sale of SQUID each year, last 3 years, has varied between about $200,000 and $300,000. We also take in permit fee revenue, which you can see did increase in the 2005-2006 permit year to just over $230,000. And that is based on the fee increase that you adopted back at 2004. That's why those numbers go up considerably between 2004 and 2005. So you can see the total picture of the revenue that's come into the department in each of the 3 years. However, looking at the total costs that it takes the department from all areas of the department, all of the efforts that are involved to make the SQUID program happen, our best estimate of what it costs us each year is $1.37 million. So you can see from this information that the total revenue that's come in falls well short of the estimated cost that we've been expending on the management of the fishery and the permit program and the FMP implementation. So given that the tax revenue on average is about $245,000 and the cost of about $1.37 million, if we have 172 permits in this fishery, which is what it would be if you take the action today to make the new permit class, combined with the 170 permits that are already there, on average, if the commercial fishery was going to cover the full cost of management, each permit would need to be set at a fee level of just over $6,500. But that does assume that there's an expectation the commercial fishery covers 100% of the costs. So we've provided a range for your consideration.
Marcy, the reason for that is because you guys requested us to cut down the number of SQUID boats, and now we don't have less people paying. And you want the people that are left to pay more now. That's what you're saying?
In order to cover the department's costs for managing the fishery and maintaining the permit program that's in place, as you can see, the revenues that are brought in from all sources, landings tax, permit fees, it falls well short of what it needs us or what we need to maintain the fishery monitoring programs, the management measures that are in place, and maintain the permit program. That's what's very important. There are lots of costs with maintaining a limited entry program. It's not just a one-time thing. There are ongoing costs to issue permits, to renew permits, to perform permit transfers, to deal with appeals, to deal with requests from others to find, for experimental permits, so on and so forth, in addition to the biological work. The initial statement of reasons details fairly thoroughly how we estimated that $1.37 million costs to approximately 14 different department functions, all that were consulted and all that provided estimates, costs for enforcement, costs for licensing, costs for outreach and communications. It's just a total global picture of what it costs us to monitor and manage the fishery, a total cost to the department. So that's where this is coming from, and that's where when Sankey asked the commission to consider increasing fees, it was to make that bottom line here between the revenues that come in more closely align with the total costs.
Commissioner
Did
Kellogg.
Did that answer your question?
No. No, go on, though.
Commissioner okay. Kellogg, let me also add that the permit structure, when it was established in terms of the fees, was occurred at a time when the squid harvest was significantly greater than it is now. And so from the standpoint of the total revenue the department receives, harvest is down from the standpoint of historical. So that plays a factor. While you may have fewer permittees, returns to the department are less.
You know, Gary, there's another factor that's going to play into this as well. Because if I remember correctly, last Tuesday we reduced some squid harvest areas. And so either the squid harvest has to make that up someplace else, which is currently being harvested for squid, when they can, when they're there. So I don't see this situation getting better. I see it getting worse. And the 6,000 something that you've got right now, if in fact MLPA, if last Tuesday or a week ago Tuesday is predictable in any way, these numbers are going to be worse.
Well, that's why I brought the question up, Richard. I mean, we're cutting down the area that they can fish in, and now we're going to price them out of business anyway. It just, you know. But go on, Marshall.
That was part of the point of what I was saying.
Okay. I would be happy to answer any other questions on the specifics of the cost estimates and the revenue. But the tax revenue, just for clarification, isn't something that is within the commission's authority to adjust. The $3.80 per ton, that's a value that's set by the legislature. So our hands are kind of tied on that one. The only ability the commission has to get, you know, to collect revenue from the fisheries through the permit fee structure at this time. So at the June meeting, based on our recommendation that we provided to you in the initial statement, the commission agreed to consider the fee range of $5,000 to $8,000 per permit. Now, you do have flexibility within the different classes of permits to set the fees how you wish within that range. So, for example, if you wanted to provide a different fee for vessels than you do for light boats, or a different fee for non-transferable permits than you do for transferable permits, you have that ability in this package within that range of $5,000 to $8,000. And again, it's all based on your idea of, I mean, again, we would like to see the commercial fees be more in line with the costs, but it's, I mean, if you were to set it at $6,500 per permit, that would mean essentially you're expecting the commercial fishery to pay for 100% of the cost. Right. So there are other groups that were involved in squid management and development.
Well, speaking to the point that you just raised, Marcy, it strikes me that one of the important things here is to not hold necessarily a particular fishery to being at parity with its costs, but look at all of our commercial fisheries with respect to their costs and have a cogent, rational policy that goes across all of our commercial fisheries, or recreational fisheries for that matter, given the permit fee for a recreational fishery is the license I have in my wallet. So I think if we're going to do this, what we need to do is look at virtually our whole approach to the department's regulatory issues, and how do you, because why would you want to, what is the justification for pulling squid out and saying it is the only one that is going to be brought to parity?
Well, and we are taking a close look at all fees.
Well, my point is this, Marcy. I personally don't want to be raising anybody's fees unless I know how those fee structures relate to the cost as you have presented it, but also how everyone else's fee structures mm-hmm. relate to their costs. Then we can have a sense of fairness of, and then we can actually come up with a policy here at the commission as to whether or not we want to have parity, or whether we think the people of the state of California need to pay for that and right. not the extractors. I mean, there's yeah. philosophical things
sure.
that we have to do here.
And there's a layer of complication because many of the permit fees are not actually within the commission's authority
either. Oh, I understand.
For example, many of them are set specifically in the statutes by the legislature been adjusted.
I thoroughly understand. But it would be important to sort of silhouette those against the night sky. It could very well be that the legislature has set fees for political reasons that are extremely low, and the department is subsidizing essentially that activity, whatever that activity is. Could be terrestrial activities as well as activities out in the ocean. What I sense here is a very considered and good effort to get a handle on the costs and the fees and try and figure out what we need to do. But I'm uncomfortable doing that without being able to place it against a background of how else we do all of these things.
Okay. Would it be helpful to provide additional information to you in a subcommittee venue, or
I think the subcommittee maybe if it's your pleasure, sir. I think it's the subcommittee would want to look at this. I realize that by that one little glib sentence, I have that is a gigantic effort, no doubt. It is not to say that you don't already know all those numbers and have been agonizing about them for years. I'm sure that's the case, but I mean in all forms, everything we do, both terrestrial and marine. You know, we have lots of things that we do here, and I don't see us picking out one particular type of extraction and landing on that simply because it happens to be the most lucrative of that particular world. In the marine world, the squid fishery is the largest number that the state of California has. Well, why should they, simply because it's the largest number? In other words, I don't go there. That's not why. We have to have a cogent policy that works across the board.
And the Marine Subcommittee is the right place to massage that and then bring a recommendation back to the full commission.
I think so, Mr. Killen.
Okay. Procedural.
But as usual, Marcy's done very, very good work here. So.
The only issue I have is that, this is slated for adoption at your next meeting, so I think we might need to talk about procedurally how to address it.
We are not mandated to adopt. That's a possible adoption. We have up to a year from the date of notice, so this could be tabled at the pleasure of the commission.
Yeah, I think we want to proceed with this. This is actually something that's a very important thing for us to be doing, Marcy and Gary. I think it's something very important. Your work has done is it's focused us on the fact that we have. Maybe I'm overstating this, but, Richard, but I think not inconsistent policies, and I think that is not a good idea.
We can't take any official action to change any schedule right now because we don't have a quorum, but
that's
we can
correct.
Do that at the next meeting.
That's correct. This is an informational meeting only.
Yes, a discussion. So if there are other questions, I'm happy to answer them.
Actually, Marcy, your work is so good. What it's done is it's made it worse.
Thank you.
Commissioner Rogers, is that like no good deed goes unpunished?
That's exactly right, Gary. That's true.
We're going to go to public speaking cards at this time.
And we're going to allow 3 minutes per person at the pleasure of the chair today. And please keep it directed specifically at the item in hand. We'll start with Paul Weakland, followed by David Couch, followed by Jim Bunn, followed by John Duffy.
Commissioners, Paul Weakland. I have two issues I'd like to talk about today, the transferable, non-transferable permits and the fair and equitable pricing. First of all, let's talk about the second-class citizens that you'd be creating with the non-transferable permits. I like the analogy that on land, if you have a landowner, he wants that property to be looking pristine and good high maintenance with a high value and marketable. And a renter of that property, he does not care about the maintenance, nor does he care about a good-looking or valuable property. And when a property becomes, if you take the effort to maintain it and make it in a pristine fashion, then your renter is going to be asked to pay more rent. That's what's happening here, with no benefit to them. Then what you create are discerners, and these non-transferable permits will be telling people how bad the fishery is. So the catch-22. The other thing is, if the fishery is required to pay its total cost for maintenance and enforcement, we can reduce the budget of the department. If the fisheries are required to pay all of the costs, we would need to reduce the budget of the department. Thank you.
David Couch, followed by Jim Bunn, followed by John Duffy.
My name is David Couch. I'm executive director of the San Diego County Professional Fishermen's Association. I'm also owner of a squid light boat, and I've participated in the limited entry programs on the spot prawn, and I sit on the advisory board for the lobster limited entry programs. First of all, I'd like to ask for a couple more minutes to speak than my 3 minutes because I have a question for Mr. Cunningham. I'm not sure about the process, but I received this packet regarding this meeting with notice on Wednesday. I was in the Midwest, and I flew back to come specifically to this meeting. And there's been no notice at all that this was coming up for the fee increase. I know the meeting in October is within the 45 days or whatever, but I kind of just don't understand how we get not even 48 hours notice of something that's very pertinent to my business of a fee increase. So I'm not sure. I thought there was a process that went on, and that's what I had a question for Mr. Cunningham, and maybe I'm not sure about how many.
This has been on our website for the last 10 days, which is available to everyone, and the 45-day comment period goes towards adoption. We're not adopting today. We're only taking comments today. So October 6th, you have your 45-day comment period, and that's only a possible adoption. So there's still plenty of time within the 45-day framework.
And I didn't mean to seem angry about that, but this has been a continual problem. You go to your website, and it's not updated timely. It's hard to find out information. And when we're fishing, it's very difficult. So, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to stray off the topic. as far as I'm here mostly to...
Sir, just out of clarification, the commission has its own website, so I'm not sure if you're talking about the Department of Fish and Game website or the commission.
The commission's website.
Go to the commission website, and you hit agenda, and it's...
You hit the agenda items, and they're not updated timely. You had the meeting back in July, and we didn't receive any updates on that for almost 4 weeks. I mean, it says within
14 days. I'm talking about before the meeting, which tells you what's going to be heard. That's 10 days minimum before the meeting.
Okay. All right. I'm just, for a lot of people, they don't have computers. I mean, some of these fishermen, so, all right. I'm a little bit concerned that after 2 years of trying to develop a limited entry program, the department's immediately coming back asking for a fee increase, and not just a small increase, a very large increase. And I appreciate your concern that it is going to create a hardship. They're using numbers based on a light El Nino event that we just went through 2 years ago. Our production was off, and we're coming off a fairly high production year, which I think they could use those to reflect true numbers of how the fishery would be supporting the licenses and the department's fees. But I looked through this whole fee breakdown where they're showing the different fees and the costs. There's redundant costs throughout there. I think there should be some due diligence done on those numbers. We're being charged for enforcement where, I mean, if you look at the enforcement issues alone, they're charging us $500,000 a year. To me, that's three wardens and one boat working 100% of the time on squid. I haven't seen a fish and game officer in 3 years fishing squid. Not in 3 years. So we're being billed $500,000 for that. I didn't have much time because I just got in last night, but I brought in the state of Alaska, Washington, and Oregon, all West Coast fisheries, with license fees of every fishery. There is no fishery on the West Coast the fees is more than $1,000. And I'm sorry, but I did ask for a little bit more time. It's up to you, mister. Okay. Thank you. But I do have these handouts that aren't copies. I'd like to give them to the commissioners. But I think there's more creative ways. The state of Washington has an identical budget as the state of California does for their Fish and Game Department. They've gone to the federal government because the squid is considered one of the coastal pelagic species. They went to the Fed for some funding. They received it. And I know they have funding issues. And they went to more creative ways to generate revenue rather than license increase. Some of those were for different types of users. We have other users in the squid industry, the commercial fishing passenger vessels. They braille squid. They use lights to attract the squid. We also have the sport fishermen that have a general license. They don't have a directed license towards squid. And, I mean, we're expected to carry the whole brunt of this. And I don't think there's a business that could anticipate a 1,000% increase in their fees. You know, so I mean, if I would really hope you'd go back and maybe work with the industry on these fees. Maybe there's a creative way that you could generate other income rather than just a license fee increase so substantially. If you increase this fee, we've got the nearshore fees you'll be going after next, where there's only 20 fishermen in that fishery. You reduce our numbers, and then you try to increase our fees. You're going to put us all out of business, and that's what it appears that you're trying to achieve right now through this fee structure increase. I mean, that's what everyone's worried about in the lobster and the nearshore fisheries is this fee increase right now. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Jim Bunn, followed by John Duffy, followed by Dan Strunk.
Commissioner Jim Bunn, I'm here to speak on this also. We're already paying twice as much money for a permit as anybody else in the state. And there are not 170-something permits. According to the Fish and Game records here, there's 161 permits, and three of those permits...
Jim, lift the mic up a little bit, because I can hear you better. Thanks.
There we go. How's that?
Yeah.
And three of those permits are just experimental permits that never have been used. We continue to drop off permits as we go. Attrition is still at work. Last year, there were 76 permits, market bed vessel permits, and this year is 73. There was 14 grandfather permits, and now there's 11. I mean, it just continues to drop. And this is from the website, by the way. That's the number of permits. But the thing is, this I think this is totally inflated. Some way here on this patrol business and its costs of this fishery. This fishery is actually very few boats. You have of these 158 boats. I forget what the number is. I just gave you that. 60 of those boats are light boats. They simply drop their anchor and aggregate fish. There's very little management to go on there. This year, only less than 60 boats delivered squid simply because they didn't have a market. So you're policing 60 boats, 50, not even 60 boats. Well, what does it cost to police the salmon fishery then? There's 1,000 boats, over 1,000. Or the herring fishery, you can go on down the line here. The herring fishery, 259 permits. The crab fishery, 601 permits. Gillnet fishery, 379 permits. I mean, if they need a cost here, a raise, it should be. I realize some of these permits are through the legislature. Well, maybe they ought to go through legislature and get a raise in permits then. Because I see the salmon fish is $147 for a permit. I just think that this is, myself, personally, I don't care. Simply because I think some of these guys will drop off and it'll give me a better chance of obtaining my transfer over permit. But if I said that to my colleagues, they'd kill me. But
they weren't listening, yeah.
Pardon me?
They weren't listening.
Well, I hope not.
They don't have computers, so they weren't listening.
But I think this should be looked at. The enforcement cost seems awful, awful high to me. You know, they talk about an airplane. 98% of this fish is done in the nighttime. There's no airplane there. So I guess we'll talk in San Diego about it, but thank you very much.
Thanks.
John Duffy, followed by Dan Strunk, followed by Dan Williams.
Good morning, commissioners. I am John Duffy, and I'm speaking today on behalf of several longtime California fishermen who expect they will meet the proposed participation requirements for squid light boat permits issued pursuant to Section 8101, and on behalf of several market squid vessel permit holders concerned about the proposed permit fee increases. Normally, when I appear before you, it's with a sense of anticipation about a positive sharing of information to assist you in some small measure in regulating and managing California's valuable marine resources. Today, however, this is a greatly different experience for me, and I may take a few extra minutes to explain why this is so. During the last 15 years of my fish and game career, I worked in Sacramento as the senior invertebrate fishery staff person and as the assistant executive director on your staff. In that, a major part of my assignment was a development of policy to manage these invertebrate fisheries and the preparations of initial statement of reasons to that end. I expect I wrote some 40 to 50 ISORs during that 15 years, and I read many times that number prepared by other DFG staff. I take no pleasure today in expressing to you that the ISOR prepared by the department in support of the matter before you is probably the worst one I've ever experienced. I'll give you several specific examples of why I say this and then provide you with detailed written follow-up. On item one of the ISOR, to provide for a non-transferable market squid light boat permit classification, the item has been written in such a way as to create the illusion that permits issued pursuant to Section 8101 of the Code must of necessity be non-transferable and are being issued only as an accommodation to these 20-year fishermen, when in fact Section 8101 was written as a means to fully include these longtime fishermen with a qualifying criteria set by the Commission. The Department states in the ISOR that no 8101 permit class was considered during the 2004 adoption process because, quote, no industry member discussed nor identified the need, close quote, and, quote, prior to the 2004 adoption hearing, there was no public comment requesting such a class, close quote. Mr. Dan Williams will testify that he both wrote letters and appeared before you with exactly such a request. On item two, to adjust the permit fees for all commercial squid permit classes to adequately cover department and commission costs. The department's very first assertion regarding this need for these fee increases is that there is, quote, an increased workload associated with maintaining the squid permit system and squid fishery management enforcement. Yet the entire 19-page long ISOR contains not one shred of information on which to document an increase in workload. Table 1 is titled Recent Squid Revenue to the DFG, All Sources, and shows a figure of $231,000 from the sale of permits in the squid fishery. This figure represents the revenue from the squid permits. Yet every one of the 161 permitted vessels must also purchase a commercial boat registration fee, either $266.50 for a resident permit or $799 for a non-resident. Each of the 84 market squid vessel permits, the purse seiners, carry a skipper and a crew, a skiff operator, an engineer, and deckhands, perhaps six people in all, each of whom must purchase a California commercial fishing license for either $101.50 for a resident or $304 for a non-resident. Braille boats and light boats also have a captain and one or more crew members who must have a commercial fishing license. My conservative estimate for using just resident fees, not non-resident fees, is that these sources add over $110,000 of income to the department. So the ISOR underrepresents by nearly 50% the revenue received from, quote, all sources from the sale of permits. Table 2 is a comprehensive cost estimate for management of the market squid fishery resource. Parens, costs to all fishermen, costs to all department and commission functions. At least here, there is one accuracy. These estimates are certainly comprehensive. However, they are presented in such a way to make it impossible to conduct an independent review, analysis, or audit of those figures. There's no reporting of hours expended by civil service classification or hourly wage rate. And many of the tasks or services provided would seem to have been completed when the fishery management plan was adopted 2 years ago. In fact, the very first item listed in the department is the squid fishery management plan, and excuse me, that has been completed. It had to have been completed in order for you to adopt it. One more small item, and I'll close this up. Under item 8 in table 2, the squid permit program, the department says it must issue and track 6 classes of squid permits. You are surely aware that we have requested that you consider making all the permits transferable, which would immediately cut that number in half. But even if that does not happen in the very near future, I would think that someone in the department would have noticed by now that in 2005 and the current 2006 permit year, exactly 0 non-transferable market squid braille permits have been sold or issued. The initial issuance deadlines have come and gone, and so has the appeal deadline. It's come and gone. I note that the fee for the non-transferable permit is 50% of the fee of the transferable permit, and yet none have been issued. In fact, the qualifying criteria for the non-transferable permit is more difficult, more stringent than that for the transferable permit. So right off the bat, we could save $17,000 of the estimated $102,000 in that item just by acknowledging that there are actually only 5, not 6, real permit classes. And if you made them all transferable, we could save $51,000. I do want to end these comments on a positive note, so I'll ask that you direct the department to rewrite Table 1 to accurately reflect all revenues received from the participants in the squid fishery, and to rewrite Table 2 with actual hours expended in a recent year, 2005 or 2004, by civil service classification with an accurate description of the time that the work was completed or the services provided. And finally, I ask that you direct the department to provide you with an option for light boat permits issued pursuant to Section 8101 of the Code to be either transferable or non-transferable, so that that choice can be made by the Commission, not the department. Thank you for this opportunity to speak out, and I will follow up with detailed written.
That's what I was going to say. You're going to give us some written backup.
Yes. While it's true that this item on your agenda was available 10 days ago, the ISOR was posted on your website 1 week ago today. It was published in the OAL's register 1 week ago.
Yeah, so, John, I think it is important that you do write this up as soon as you can. Gary, I think what we would want to do at the Marine Resources Committee is discuss literally point by point the points that John makes in his analysis of the ISOR, and then we would proceed from there in the Marine Resources Committee. But having said that, remember that we're going to be looking at this whole thing against a background of a larger event. So maybe we need to talk about what we need to do specifically rather than... Anyway, there's a lot to do here. I think it's suffice to say that the Marine Resources Committee is probably not going to be approving any permit increases until we get a better handle on this situation.
Well, it really is with a heavy heart that I say these words because it's not easy. Thank you.
I understand. Thank you.
Gary, do you want to make a comment? Commissioner Rogers, the department is certainly willing to develop some additional information, be prepared to discuss this in detail at the Marine Resources Committee. One thing I might caution is the potential, particularly with some of the other suggestions, for this initially very focused request
to get a lot larger,
way out of hand.
No, I understand that, Gary, right. and I do not intend that at all.
Okay, thank you.
In fact, I intend actually quite the opposite. I would like to contain this because, in my opinion, what we have to do is look philosophically a little bit across the broad spectrum, as I was saying before. I don't want to repeat myself here. The broad spectrum of how we approach this issue, not just with the squid fishery. And then, if we wish to revisit the squid fishery numbers, because we've decided that we need to proceed with some matching of costs and revenues, then and only then, I think, would we want to delve into the specificity of the flows in the squid fishery.
Thank you.
Dan Strunk, followed by Dan Williams, followed by Diane Pleschner.
Thank you, Commissioners. My name is Dan Strunk. I own and operate a light boat by the name of Cameron Kate from San Pedro, California. Maybe a little background on myself, too. I've been involved my whole life in the CPFV fishery. I also sit on the Ground Fish Advisory Subpanel for the Pacific Fisheries Management Council. In 2004, I sold one of my CPFVs. After the declaration of the groundfish disaster, our wintertime fishery is basically non-existent any longer. I sold that boat to purchase a light boat to offset my family's income and try to maintain a commercial fishing or a fisherman's lifestyle. In 2005, I purchased the fishing vessel Cameron Kate, and it has definitely offset my CPFV winners for sure. $2,000 or $2,100 is the current rate for a light boat and a braille permit, and one must purchase this permit annually to keep this permit valid. We are aware of El Nino conditions in California. When these conditions prevail, little or no squid is harvested. Even $2,000 is a lot of money to spend on a permit if you're not fishing or harvesting fish for that. And I might add that fuel is a gigantic constraint in all fisheries at this time. Not to mention up to an $8,000 permit. If there's no fish to harvest, I can't even imagine putting that kind of money out, but then on the other side, jeopardizing not maintaining my permit, my transferable permit. Something else that was brought up here is MLPAs. And this is, it's inevitable, it's happening. I tell my friends in the business and all fishery sectors that this is coming down the pipe, it's coming to Southern California next. I find it very interesting, and we're working on closing up to 20% of our coastline to possibly no harvest areas, no fishing. But yet we're thinking of increasing this permit 200% from where it stands today. Also, the California wet fish producers are currently doing research on the biomass at no charge to the state as a collaborative situation. My boat's going to be involved in some work Tuesday night. Any increase is too much increase with the cost of fuel and the possibility of having a warm water year and no product. It strikes me very, very ridiculous to me that the fishermen are going to toe the line for this management in this fishery. I thank you very much for your time, sir.
Dan Williams, followed by Diane Pleschner, followed by John Bergell.
Hello, commissioners and staff. My name is Dan Williams, and I appear before you again today concerning the grandfather light boat issue. Well, I don't know where to start. The fee increases here are just astronomical, considering that the non-transferable option before you now here is usually half the transferable fee rate. That would place it currently at $300, and if we're looking at from $5,000 to $8,000, what, 2,000% fee increase? You know, I don't know about you, but that's pretty tough, particularly when you haven't been able to fish, and you've been diligently trying to get this issue resolved. I'm hopeful that in dealing with this issue, the fact that there's this fee increase and the grandfather light issue, that you'd be able to look at each individual issue, because the longer those few qualifiers are unable to fish, without a permit, or they don't have the resources to purchase a transferable permit like myself, it just creates more harm, and then looking at a monstrous fee increase. But taking a step back, looking at the eyesore, as Mr. Duffy already indicated, on page 2, the last paragraph, the reasons that the non-transferable light boat permit class was not included by the department in the 2004 regulatory options were primarily that no industry member discussed nor identified the need, nor was a criterion identified at the time that was less restrictive for a transferable light boat permit. Well, currently, here in this room is the one person I think that would have been able to help out on this eyesore problem is Marcy Yurinko, because I personally attended the July 7th California Fish and Game Commission Marine Subcommittee meeting and spoke to item 3, the Squid Fishery Management Plan regulations for permits including transferable and 20-year fisherman provisions, hyphen Marcy Yurinko. So, and at that meeting, I handed out my previous letter to the commission dated June 7th, 2004, where I specifically bring up this issue of concern and relate it to that the opportunity was being given for the seiners. And so I then followed that up at a subsequent Marine Subcommittee meeting in Port San Luis. I then followed up with an August 21st letter, 2004, to the commission, where I specifically identify two different categories, a qualifying criterion for a transferable light boat permit and for a non-transferable or grandfather permit. So I'm hopeful you will consider these facts, and I will present them in writing that there be some concerns of the validity of this eyesore. Thank you for your help.
Diane Plishner, followed by John Burgell, followed by Gordon Daly.
Oh dear. Hang on a sec, I need to wipe my glasses. Good morning, commissioners and staff. I'm Diane Plechner-Steele, executive director of the California Wetfish Producers Association. And I'm following up on letters that we submitted on May 16th and June 10th on this issue of the squid permit fee increase or proposal for increase. I think it's important for the commission to understand that the wetfish industry harvests a complex of species. The squid, of course, is probably the primarily the economic driver, but we also harvest sardines and mackerel. And what I've submitted in my prior letters and I'm handing out again today is the landing tax fees that are generated by this complex. And I would encourage you to include those when you're considering the cost the industry gives to the department to manage squid. If you could also include what we pay for sardines and mackerel, which are both federally managed species, and so the department has less of an economic burden for actually managing those species, but does receive this money. And if you'll note, the annual average sardine landing tax is $665,000 a year, and the total contribution from the big three is almost $1 million a year. This is landing taxes only. And I would encourage you to include that as a contribution to the department. It's important to understand also that squid is a cyclical resource. And one of the handouts that I've given you today shows the value and the average ex-vessel price per pound for squid over the last 8 years. We've had a couple of really good squid years, and that's because there was an absence of squid in the world market. That's changed. The Falkland fishery has come back, and it's going to be, marketing will be dicey this year. But when you take a look at the last year where we had 22 cents a pound ex vessel, the average is 13, so basically half. And then we're asking the fishermen to bear the brunt with increased fuel costs, and as you heard the other fishermen testify, they're not going to be able to afford $5,000, let alone $8,000. I'm concerned also, and I appreciated some of the comments that John Duffy made, over the budget that the Fish and Game Department laid out in this notice. And one of the things that I handed out, may I please have a little more time? Thanks. One of the things that I handed out in this attachment today, in the Squid FMP, they laid out a budget of $964,000. About 50% of that was for fishery independent research. $200,000 of that was for enforcement. And they went back through in the FMP, and in the back here is a description of how they came to that $200,000 figure. And yet, when you take a look at the line item, they've got another $500,000 included for enforcement. So that's almost half of their budget. And I'm wondering what changed in 2 years, why enforcement went from $200,000, which is already wrapped into the Squid FMP up top, and then another $500,000. So I would again ask for the department to clarify that. And I would ask for the department to sit down with us. We've asked a number of times to sit down with them. We're more than happy to pay our fair share, and I think we already do. One of the things that this commission considered in approving the $2,000 permit fees in 2004 was giving us a shot at developing our own research program as an in-kind contribution, and we've done that. And in fact, we've asked for time on the October 6th agenda so that we can have our PI, Doyle Hannon, Dr. Doyle Hannon, to give you a highlights of what our program consists of, because it's substantial. And we're putting in a lot of money, of our own money, to help the department improve the knowledge of the squid resource. So I would, again, I would hope that we would have maybe 15 minutes of time so that Dr. Doyle could give you a heads up on what we're doing. And also, if you could help us, if you could, basically help us to work, we would love to sit down with the department, and we would encourage you to help us achieve full cooperation with the department. We've offered more than once to sit down at the table, lay out the management costs, not only for squid, but also for sardines and mackerel, and work with us and let us work with you to come up with some, good, solid budget numbers, and then integrating our research program as part of that. I think, as I say, we're more than happy to cooperate with the department, but we would just like the opportunity to work with you. And please do consider that before considering raising these permit fees. Thank you.
Thank you.
John Burgell, followed by Gordon Daly, followed by Walt Manzel.
Yeah, my name is John Burgell. I'm a 30-year licensed squid fisherman,
or a 30-year licensed commercial fisherman. And I think the squid fees increase would be devastating to some fishermen in some instances. Like, say, myself, if my cancer was to come back this year, the fees would be astronomical if I didn't have any fish. I don't know how I would pay this permit. And not only that, the real reason I came is that I think you need to consider some alternative means of collecting this fee. This price of squid is anywhere between $1,500 and $1,800 a ton. And I myself, as a lightbud, I only get $80 of that. And the fishermen, they only get maybe $450 of it. Where does the other $1,000 go? It goes to the markets. It goes to the truckers. It goes to everybody involved in this business. So if you really need more money for the protection and the harvesting and the patrolling of squid boats, which I myself have only seen one patrol boat in the last 2 years, and he wasn't very friendly. But if you really need that money, I think you need to spread it out among the whole industry rather than try to collect it just from the fishermen. Because when I came here, the fees were only $50, and it allowed me to do everything, and I made a living. But, I'm not making a living only on a couple years out of the out of maybe 10 now, because squid is not always at a blossom, sometimes just a little bit. Thank you.
Hello, commissioners and staff. My name is Gordon Daly. I'm a resident of Santa Barbara, commercial fisherman, and a participant in the squid industry since 1980. I am on two matters here. The fee increases, which a lot of good points have been brought up, that are there for enforcement of the industry. And like you've heard before, in the last 3 years, I've been boarded once by Fish and Game, and they were actually coming down from Morro Bay off of Santa Cruz. And that's the only boat I've seen out there participating in any enforcement of the industry. And just the cost of fishing is going up with the fuel. It's very, you know, if we go out there, fill our boats up at the price of fuel now, we're burning fuel. Chances are we're out scouting with no income. I mean, we're already going backwards. And as far as myself, I had to purchase a permit last year, and I missed a lot of last season. I don't know what it took over 30 days to get my permit transferred into my name from the department, or about close to 30 days once it was received in Sacramento. And I lost a lot of the season. I didn't start fishing until Christmas Day. And then I had engine breakdowns, and, you know, there is a lot of overhead. I still have paid for my permit, and I still have a loan on that, and I'm paying fees on the loan. And as far as the grandfather clause comes in, I purchased a permit for my vessel, and now with the upcoming 1801 grandfather clause, if I already am in possession of a permit, and that you cannot have two permits on one boat, I need to be given time to transfer a permit to recoup the cost that I've had because I was not granted a permit when I believe I should have been, as I qualified under 1801 at the time of the appeals that I appeared in Sacramento on. And I just want to be on record for that, that two permits can't be given, but I need to be given notice to transfer one to another vessel so I can obtain one, because I rely on squid for income, and I had to purchase my permit to fish and continue. And in all fairness to me, and with the commission and the state. Okay, thank you.
Walt Mansell, followed by Douglas Mathwee.
Commissioners, Walt Mansell speaking today as a strictly private citizen, representing no one. I just want to elaborate a little bit on some of the philosophical things Mr. Commissioner Rogers mentioned. Every meeting of this commission, one or more groups come before you that are concerned with saving this animal or saving that animal, something under the Endangered Species Act or something else that we are spending millions and millions of dollars to do, and we don't even know where that money's coming from sometimes. When I began working for the department in 1965, we were very proud of the fact that about 90% of our budget at that time was paid by the sport hunting, fishing, and commercial fishing license buyers. The time has long since passed when that is possible, because we're in a law of defeating our own purpose type thing. Every time we raise a fee on licenses, the total sale drops, revenues diminishing from all fields, and more we're being told by particularly the environmental and protectionist groups that all of the wildlife of the state, in the ocean, in the skies, on the land, is the interest and business of all the people of the state. So I just question if it's necessary that the commercial fishermen pay the total cost of the research and the policing and everything else that goes with any one specific facet of the commercial industry. I know times have changed radically and dramatically. I spent 6.5 years as a Marine warden on the coast, primarily in this very county and San Luis Obispo County. with work at various times that extended from San Francisco Bay to the Mexican border. I spent many, many, many hundreds of days on abalone. I spent quite a few days on lobster. I spent quite a few days on trawl fishery nets and boats offshore. I spent a lot of time on salmon fishing. In the course of that 6.5 years, I think I spent probably 1.5 days on anything related to squid. I recognize times have changed. I spent a lot more time than those 1.5 days on barred surf perch enforcement and tagging. So we are always kind of looking at the times that change, but maybe somehow, and it's the going back right to the very thing the department faces today, is trying to find an adequate source of funding whereby all the people of the state that claim an interest in all the resources of the state pay for what we need to take care of those resources. I'm not on anybody's side. I'm not advocating anything. I'm just trying to point out some of the conundrums that you people have to deal with and the department all the time. Thank you.
Walt, it's called unfunded mandates, and we get them all the time.
Our last speaker card is for Douglas Mathwin. Did I get that right? If anyone else wanted to speak on this, please get a card in right now.
I was at your 04 meeting, and you guys had an educated decision on increases. Douglas Mathwin. I was at your 04 meeting, and you guys had a lengthy discussion and educated decision made on your increases for the fees. And we thought it was ridiculous at the time, and the council came up with the proper decision and lowered it and adjusted to a fair increase. And here we are 2 years later doing the exact same study, the exact same arguments with twice the increase was asked for last time. We can't keep studying spinning fishing game time and energy on the exact same story again and again when it was ridiculous last time and a fair decision was made. You guys made a good decision and came up with a proper answer. Here we are going again with double the request that they did last time. We really got to take note to keep continuing to spend the same money again, wasting it, looking for more funds and trying to increase it when you guys make educated decisions and proper ones, and everybody was satisfied with that. A small increase, if we need so, would be fair, like it was last time, as everybody should have. You know, licenses do go up, costs do go up for you folks, like we really do know for us. Our costs have gone way up with fuel and insurance and all the other items. But we did discuss this once. We did come up with a good decision, and here we are doing it again. So I appreciate your time. I just wanted to take note of that.
Okay, as you heard, that issue is going to be referred to our Marine Subcommittee, and they're going to massage it and bring back a recommendation.
Yeah, we'll take it on.
Wanted to ask Mr. Cunningham, since we don't have a quorum today, and this has been on our agenda announced to be considered on October 6th, can I remove it then from the October 6th agenda, or... I'll send it to the Marine Resources Committee. I can speak with the chair later on that.
Yeah, I think there's, to the extent it is currently scheduled for October, we may have to leave it on the October agenda without a majority of a quorum to vote to move the item off of the agenda. I think it's probably going to remain on the agenda. That does not mean that we cannot ask that the subcommittee also, the Marine Subcommittee also, consider the matter if such a committee can be convened before October. Mm-hmm. And that committee could then come back at the October meeting with suggestions or recommendations, and at that time action does not necessarily have to take place. I think Mr. Kellogg laid it out very clearly that while it may be on the October agenda, that does not mean that we will have to do anything on the October agenda.
Yeah, the thing that's awkward about that, obviously, is one, what are we doing in Marine Subcommittee?
We'll pull it out. We won't do it my way. We'll do it your way, Council. But I like to do things my way, and then you do your job getting me out of trouble, but we'll do it your way.
Yeah, the thing that's, I was going to go on with the thing that's really awkward is that what you don't want to do is schedule it for the agenda and then have a whole bunch of people have to show up because it's important to them. And, you know, the meeting is someplace where they don't live. It's an awkward situation that I don't really want to put people through.
So we've got no choice.
The extent to which we can avoid that would be a very good idea.
Gary? Gary?
Thank you, Commissioner Kellogg. I'd like to remind the commission, like Sankey does so often, as we discuss these kinds of issues, the issues that have been brought before you about the rise in costs, the effects on the fishery, they're all valid concerns. Throw on top of that MLPA. I think it's incumbent on the department, and I will commit right now that we'll look at the cost estimates that we generated, because I think it's important that the commission have the best information available. We'll look at the comments that have been provided in terms of our cost estimates. That said, the bottom line for us, we get put between a very hard spot and a big rock relative to 711 of the Fish and Game Code that requires the department to recoup its costs from the standpoint of operating these commercial fisheries. Commercial fisheries need to pay their way. Now, how you distribute that across the fishery is certainly up to you, but the bottom line for us is to be able to, at the end of the day, be able to say that our costs are being covered. If we don't do that, the recreational fishers, particularly from the standpoint of the other funding sources that we have to go to, very appropriately provide comments from the standpoint of the department, you shouldn't be spending our sport fishing dollars on commercial. So we're stuck in the middle.
Right. Gary, I think that's very well said, and it's up to the Marine Resources Committee to take a look at this. Clearly, we cannot make a decision, therefore, on precisely what you have said, the foundation of what you have said, until we look at literally the entire commercial fishing industry lumped up on all of these costs, and then look at all the revenues that we can, you know, there's no other way to do that. Because if we look at it piecemeal, we run into the risk of some of the comments that were made, why not mackerel, why not, you know, sir, what's going to happen is that the enforcement costs, if you did it, I'd be willing to bet the estimated enforcement costs, if you did it piecemeal, might be more than the entire budget of the department. I'm kidding. But it might be a lot more than it actually is, simply because people are being cautious about trying to make certain that they are getting covered on the costs that they think that they're applying to it, when in fact those costs might go over to mackerel, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So unless we actually looked at everything all together and we knew very well how many wardens and how, you know, et cetera, you wouldn't be able to do it. So my sense is that when we visit this in the Marine Subcommittee, we're going to want to look at everything. We're not going to want to look at just this. So this is going to be a long discussion, I would have to submit.
I appreciate those comments and that concern. One thing we also have to address, though, is the time it's going to take us to do what you're suggesting in terms of looking at all the commercial fisheries together, and how does that fit with the other priorities?
Well, let's talk about that, Gary, and I understand the problem.
Right.
But I don't see how you avoid it if what we're talking about is stuff where there are costs that are associated with a particular fishery that can indeed, and in fact probably do, spill over onto other fisheries as well. I just don't see how could we defend that that analysis on the enforcement budget unless we looked at the rolled up enforcement budget for commercial fishery and parcel it out to the efforts for each one of those commercial. I don't see how we could do that, how you could defend it. I'm just trying to keep us straight in the eyes of the regulated public. It just seems no other way to do that. So
we're making
it may take a little longer, and it, you know, vis-a-vis all the things that we have to do, MLPA not being the least of them.
Do you have a comment, John?
Yes, just the notion in consultation with Mr. Cunningham. You might be able to determine if you can separate the question of the establishment of the light boat permit from the fee increases because of the impacts that you heard from Mr. Daly and Mr. Williams relative to that. So,
Bill?
Mr. Rogers, Mr. Kellogg, I've been talking with Mr. Carson as well, and thank you, Mr. Duffy, as well, because there are several separate issues that I wanted to make sure don't get lost here in the discussion. And one of them is the light boat, non-transferable light boat permit, which the commission has had before it in various pieces for over a year, and each time the small piece of the light boat, non-transferable light boat permit, has been joined with a larger piece, only then to have the whole measure hang fire and go back for reconsideration again. So over and over again, a very small piece, which probably should be and could be resolved by the commission, is going to be entangled with a larger piece, which may be more controversial. So I'm wondering if at the present time we may want to go ahead and go forward with the present notice for the October meeting, with the understanding that at the October meeting, the commission does not have to act on all of the package before it, but can act on only a portion of the package and either accept the rest of the package or table the rest of the package for future consideration.
Can we do that?
That sounds like what the commission does want to do, or at least these two members, you two members, do want to do on the fees issue.
Okay, we can do that without a quorum vote of this commission. So let's, you agree, Roger?
I agree with that. I think that's Richard. Proper. I think that's proper, Mr. Kellogg. Okay.
Just 2 seconds.
Real quick.
You know, the main issue I came up here for.
You got to say your name.
John Burgle. And you know what I really came up for is because a friend of mine gave me a really good idea 2 days ago how you guys could maybe think about collecting these fees. If you did it through a landing tax, it would be passed on if you need to collect more fees, because I don't think we're really against you protecting our fishery. But if you did it through a landing tax of so many XM like you do other taxes, you could collect it equally from the people that actually catching the fish. And the guy that catches a little bit would only pay a little bit. The guy that catches a lot would pay a lot. And it wouldn't be burdened upon small people.
Yeah, I personally agree with you entirely. The problem is that we have statutory problems. The legislature does one thing, we do something different. You're absolutely right. I mean, in an El Nino year, why should someone be paying a permit fee that would literally have them have to give their TV back to the guy they bought it from? When in fact there were no squid out there. I mean, to me that makes no sense at all. To me, fees should always be in accordance with the volume of the fishery or whatever the activity happens to be. Any government fee for anything should be related to. It's sort of like, you know, you buy a $100,000 car, you're going to get stuck with a heck of a license fee. If you buy $1,000 car, it's not going to be the same thing. And so to me, it should be related to the level of the activity. The problem we have is that we don't have that authority. So it's we'll try and work on something that's fair.
Okay, I want to thank everybody for all your input that you gave us today. And now we're going to move on to item 20.
Item 20, receipt of public testimony on proposed amendments to sections 163 and 164, Title 14, related to commercial herring fishery and harvesting of herring eggs on kelp. Please note that the adoption hearing is scheduled for October 6th in San Diego. Gary Stacy from the department. Boy, Gary, you know how to clear a room.
Commissioners, Mr. Carlson. This item has been before you several times. The issues that we're dealing with involve establishing the quotas, dealing with the mesh size in Tomales Bay, setting the seasons. Based on the information that we've collected in terms of biomass, we've established a range of quotas. Except for getting specific in terms of your action about what you want to do with those quotas, things are pretty straightforward. Don't really have anything to add relative to the consideration at this time.
Okay, well, I've already heard what your employees and the fishermen have agreed to on quotas and everything. I think everybody's happy.
That's what it looks like.
And yeah. And congratulations on all of us being able to make at least one fishery work successfully.
Yep. You know, thank you. Yeah. A lot of effort, but definitely worthwhile. I'd like to be in this position with all of them, frankly.
We have no speaker card. We'll move on to item 21.
Thank you. Item 21 is announcement of future meetings. On October 5th and 6th, we will be meeting in San Diego. On November 2nd and 3rd, in Redding. And at the end of the year, December 7th and 8th, in Santa Monica. That's all I have.
Okay. With that, the commission meeting is adjourned. Thank you.